Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
So much the Lord has for us. Amen. Say amen if you believe it. You know, we're going to practice something. In Ukraine, we say, on Easter Day, we say, Christ is risen. And you have to very, you know, loudly, with passion and with faith, you have to reply by saying, truly he is. Let's try. Christ is risen. All right, I like this, but I know you can do better. Let's try again. And we got to do it three times. Are you ready? Get your gum out of your mouth, because I had to do that. You know, get rid of whatever else is in your mouth and get ready. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And I actually believe that. Do you believe that? Amen. And you know what? I believe that this day is an awesome day, just like every other day. But today, we have a reason to talk more about God. And I don't know what I'm going to be reading from. I know it's going to be the Bible. And I know we were going to show you a little slideshow just to kind of update you a little bit on what's happening in Ukraine. And so you could see our kids and how they're doing, but it doesn't work. Oh, look, you got a website. Wow. I keep forgetting, guys, that you are very smart here with that stuff, because I can't do that. But wow. All right, that's our website, and it needs some updating, but I can't do it. So anyway, I'll tell you a little bit about what's happening in Ukraine. Do you want to know? Is there anybody that doesn't know me? Oh, yay. I like to meet new people. You know, before we start, I would like just to give just a little bit. I would like to connect with the Spirit, you know. So maybe you can do that with me. Just close your eyes and try to find him. I mean, I know he's here. You know he's here. But don't you want to hear from him? I don't want to be the one talking. I want to be the one listening. I want to be the one eating, because he came here to feed us. He always comes to feed us. And he has fresh food. And he has awesome food. And we don't have to eat food from yesterday, some crumbs from the day before. It's always fresh and new, and I'm hungry. And are you hungry? I'm hungry, Lord. I want to hear from you. I don't want to speak. I just want to hear from you. I want you to speak. So this is time for you, God. This whole time is for you. And we're sorry we don't ever have enough time for you. We're always busy with stuff. Forgive us, Lord. But this time we ask you, Lord, talk to us, teach us, give us food to eat, and give us the water of life to drink, because we are thirsty. We want you, Lord, more of you. Maybe pray a little bit in the Spirit. Ora ma shiri digi sara da digi seya, kari digi seri digi soya, bari digi soya. Lord, we came together today to glorify you, to praise you, to lift you up in our lives. You are so high above, but we want to lift you up in our lives above all our addictions and everything we do like, everything we're addicted to, you know, movies, TV, whatever it is. I mean, God, we just lift you up higher in our lives. We lift you up higher. You are the first one. You are the priority for us. We lift you up, God. And we want your Spirit to do what you want to do today. In our hearts, in our minds, in our lives.
Lord, this is you, God. This is all about you. And this is all for you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you, God. We love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, Daddy. I love you back. I love you back because you loved me first. I choose you back because you chose me first. I love you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Take away the doubt, you know. And I think this is something I want to talk about. I got rid of my notebook, and I'm not going to read from that because I believe the Lord wants to say something different. I think this is just, you know, something that God gave me, but this is something that I believe is for me, and you can believe it's for you as well if you'd like to. But, you know, this day when he rose from the dead, before that, like minutes before that, his disciples and people that knew him, people that knew that he died, they didn't have much faith left. You know, he died, and he was right there with them, and then he died, and they didn't have much hope left. And I loved your worship. There was this, the last song was just amazing. You know, just awesome worship. And isn't that incredible that by coming back to life, he came back to his disciples to give them hope. To give them hope. And I believe this day is a day for us to grab on to his hope, to hold on to it really tight, because it's for us. He wants to show more and more, over and over, that he wants you, and he wants you, and he will do all the miracles he can to prove it to you. You know, if he has to, he will resurrect the dead. Have you ever seen dead rise? Have you ever seen? I've seen it. So I've seen it. My grandma died right in the church during the service. And maybe I shared this before. But she was dead for about, I don't know, 10 minutes or 15 or something. I mean, we didn't look at the clock. We were just praying, you know. We were just praying. We got half of our church to pray. And she died because it was too hot in the church. We didn't have ACs and she had asthma and she died. And she was just sitting there with her eyes open and her body was turning blue and cold. And I was right next to her. I was 12. But she's still alive and has no asthma. She came back, and this is what God does. And we see a lot of miracles like that. And people that have come to Ukraine before, you guys know that. And you know, somebody asked me just recently in the States, I mean, I don't know why you guys don't get it, but we have people in Ukraine that don't get it. And it's so weird to me because they come up and they say, Max, why do you have all these awesome, incredible stories, testimonies, and all the endings are great? And I said, well, not all of them. I wish it was all of them. But he said, well, listen, sometimes it's just like it doesn't even sound real. You know, somebody dead rose and then lives again. And I mean, are there any medical proof? People want more proof. God performs miracles and we ask for more. I mean, he does it right in front of you and you say, well, God, where are you? You know, it's like, are you blind? And that's why he wants us to see. And so, you know, this, we don't always have good endings. It's just the bad situations and bad stories don't really encourage you. I mean, this is something we have to live through. This is something that God gave me to carry and my team. This is something that we have to carry, the bad, that you guys don't get to hear much. But you get to hear the best. And a lot of times we lose our babies. They die in our hands. They die on they die. We find them dead. Not always it's great endings. I remember this one kid. Are you okay with testimonies?
Yay.
Okay, good. I remember this one kid. His name was Sergey, and that was about 6 years ago. I mean, I'm really bad with time, so I'm just guessing here. But it was about, 6 years ago. We found him in one of those holes in the ground. What do you call them? Yeah, where the pipes are, what is it? A manhole. Thank you. A manhole. English is not my first language.
Я могу говорить с вами на русском сколько захочу, но так, чтобы вы немножко понимали, буду говорить на другом языке.
I said, I can talk in Russian for as long as I'd like, but I guess I should speak a different language so you understand. So anyway, we found this one kid in this manhole. Right inside, he was sleeping on one of the pipes because it was really cold out, and he was sleeping on one of the pipes. And those are, I'm talking big pipes for the city, for the apartment buildings and all those. And they're metal, old metal, and they're not insulated or anything. So he was just sleeping on it. And when we found him, he was sniffing so much glue. We found lots of plastic bags by him that he passed out because of it. He was really young, and he passed out, and he fell asleep on this really hot pipe, and it burned his cheek to a point where you could see his teeth. There was no cheek. And of course, when we brought him to the hospital, he was like 12. And the doctor said, oh no, there's no way. Too much damage. We don't have anything to fix this. He's gonna die. He's bleeding nonstop. There's nothing we can do. We don't believe doctors, just so you know. I mean, we can't trust our medicine because it's just messed up. It's Soviet Union. I mean, if you went into a hospital, there's nothing. There's not even a pill, a painkiller. You have to go to a drugstore, which could be a few miles away, and it could be closed, So we don't trust doctors or medicine. We have to trust the Lord, and I'm so happy for that. I mean, they're trying to work out a better system, but I'm thinking it's better this way because we can trust God more, and I want to trust Him more. And so they said he's not going to live, maybe few days, maybe even not that. Maybe today he'll die. And they were just like, maybe don't get your hopes up, maybe few days. And they couldn't do anything. And so we just kept praying and praying and praying. And sometimes you pray for things for years, isn't it? Do you have things that you still pray for? And believe me, they'll come. There's that special time. Jesus, God, he's outside of time. We know that, right? So everything he promised, everything he said, I'll give it to you. He means like I gave it to you because he's outside of time. You're understanding that, right? And so it's not the future. It's not tomorrow that you'll get it, but it's today. It's a matter of you being able to receive. Are your pockets empty? Is your stomach empty to receive more? And so we don't trust doctors, and they just thought we were crazy. They always think that. But at this point already, they kind of know us, so they know what we're going to do. So we come in, we have, communion right in the room. We have oil anointing. We have everything. We just want to do it all. We want God right there. And it's been 6 years. This kid is still alive. And his cheek, it looks great. He's got a cheek now. I mean, he's fine. He graduated technical school this year. Yeah, give him the glory. And this is, this is just one of the stories, just one little bit, just a little bit, where people said, it's not going to work. And God says, sure it will. I want it to work. Sure it will. My kids are out there. He's mine. I paid the price. And then, and so all these people that ask me questions, well, how is this possible? Or why does this not happen over here? Or how about when we pray for years and for hours and nothing's happening? And I wish I had the perfect answer for those people, but I don't. I just say, keep going for it. Keep going for it. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Just a recent revelation that God gave me, I'll try to be very quick. He told me, what time is that? It's reflecting. I can't see. okay, I'm good. And he gave me this awesome revelation. He said, you know, the armor of God. Have you read in the Bible about the armor of God? You know all that stuff. You know, he gave us everything to fight. And then one thing I checked. I like history a lot. So I checked in the history, everybody who went for a fight, for a battle, they had a sheath. Is that right? Where you put your sword away into? Yeah, sheath. Because one time I swore instead of saying this word, so I'm being very careful. And so he didn't give us a sheath because he didn't mean for us to stop fighting. He didn't mean for us to give up. He didn't mean for us to stop fighting. All he wants you to do is keep fighting, keep standing strong, because there's victory at the end. And I want to see that victory. I want to see that victory. And so, you know, two, maybe 3 weeks ago, because I was in the States. I just got back from Canada a few days ago. And I don't know if you saw the website, but we had a calendar up there. I've been here for almost 2 months. 2 months. I'm going to go home. I miss home. I miss my kids. And so, you know, 2 months is a long time. And about 3 weeks ago, when I was in one of the states, not here, I don't know where it was, maybe Kansas City, Missouri, I'm not sure. Or maybe Charlotte, I'm not sure. I don't know. So forgive me. But there was this one time where I was at the church, and it was a beautiful church, big church. They had a conference, and I was one of the guest speakers. They had three. And it was a big, crowded church, like 500 people. And it was so crowded and so loud. And I just thought, you know, I'll take a break, and I'll go outside. And I got a text or somebody called or tried to call. And so I left to check that. And I was outside, and they had little tables and little chairs around by the church. And I thought, oh, this is kind of cute. You know, we don't have that. This is kind of cool. And so I came out, and I was just talking on the phone, and then I was done, or I was reading. I don't even remember. But then I remember this, that there was this one guy. He was sitting by himself in one of those chairs outside. And I came up to him, and I said, hey, is everything okay? Are you coming in? You can sit by me, you know. And so I'm trying to have a conversation with him. But he's kind of, you know, he kind of pushes me away. And I'm thinking, what a weird guy. You know, I'm just being nice. And then I asked him if he was coming in, and he said, no, I'm not from here. I'm not even a believer, really. I'm okay. I said, oh, you're not. Do you want to be? And so, you know, because I'm trying to have a conversation. I'm from Ukraine. You know, I probably should have had some accent to it. But I think I'm good. I think I got that covered. Anyway, and so I talked to him for a little bit, and then I keep feeling that he's just pushing me away. And I'm thinking, God, you know, what should we do? What should I do? And then I saw his leg. His leg was about, you know, this much shorter. One of them was this much shorter than the other. And he was just sitting in the chair, you know, I don't know. And so I said, oh, hey, can I pray for you? And he said, sure, but I don't believe. Does that matter? I said, no, it's okay. I believe, so it's all right. And he said, okay, well, what are you going to pray for? And I said, oh, I'm going to pray for your leg. And he said, oh, man, it's all right. It really is okay. And his name is Tom or something like that. And he called him TJ or I don't know. Tom Johnson, I don't know, but anyway, and so, you know, I grab his legs, and I'm kind of on the floor, on the ground, because I couldn't reach from the chair, so I'm on the ground, and I'm holding his legs, and I'm praying in Russian, just so he could understand that I'm not from here, just so he could know for sure that I'm an alien, you know, and so I'm holding his legs, and I'm praying, and then I kind of look up at him, and he's just staring at me, and he's saying, man, what are you saying? I don't understand anything. I said, it's okay. I'm from a different country, right? So it's okay. I speak a different language. I'm just praying in a different language. And then I started to pray in the spirit, you know, to shock him a little more. But so I'm praying, and then I'm thinking, God, what am I doing? You know, like, what am I praying for? I don't even know what's wrong with his leg. And so I'm holding his leg, and then I start to pull it. And it's not like I could control me anymore. It was like God took over me and he said, pull. And I'm pulling so hard that I didn't know I had that much strength. And so I'm pulling his leg and he says, you're pulling my leg. And he's yelling at me. I mean, this is not a line you hear by the church. And he's screaming really loudly. And so I'm thinking, man, he's loud. And I'm still pulling and I'm praying in the spirit. And he says, you're pulling my leg. And he's screaming so loud that somebody out of the church came out and to check if everything was okay. And so, you know, and it was. A few minutes later, his leg was fine. Give him more glory because he's worthy. More. Jesus, we thank you for this. We're excited about what you do. We really are. And I mean, I'm sorry I didn't have a camera to take a picture or videotape this, but I didn't know it was going to happen. I really didn't. And so, I mean, I don't have any proof except for I keep in touch with him and he's fine. He's looking for a church now. So we had a great conference because, you know, I couldn't bring him in because he had to go and tell his family about this. And then, you know, I went back in and it was a great conference or whatever it was, a meeting. And so, you know, and it was, oh, and then he told me that he was born that way and it was 7 inches shorter than the other one. 7 inches, that kind of didn't translate right in my head right away. But I mean, I saw it, so I figured it was like almost 20 centimeters. You don't do centimeters, you're okay with inches. I had to do this one in Canada and I'm thinking, how do I, okay, 7 inches. And so, you know, and also, the Word of God, do you guys read the Word of God? Do you like it? Because I love it. And my kids love it. Just so you have an idea, we have ministry, to those that don't know, we have ministry, it's called True Hope. And we work with more than 5,000 kids now. And the number grows every day, as we speak, it just grows. And then, I mean, it's all really difficult, very difficult to break into facilities to find kids. And when we do, the government hates us. So, I mean, it's kind of difficult. And I'm still not really allowed publicly to speak about certain situations because too many people are listening or can find it on the YouTube. And I mean it when I say this. I actually was not sure if I should come here because of that, because reporters were involved and U.S. Department, they were involved, and then, you know, in Washington, D.C., and then the embassy in Kiev, and then all of this stuff, because we also help, you know, girls to get out of the human trafficking and stuff, and so it was just, you know, a little messy, but God is, and I still, when I go back home, I still have to meet with a lot of reporters, which I don't like to do, because they twist the stories, they twist, you know, and it's just like, God help, and so we always ask for help. And then, you know, Bible says, the Word of God says that our biggest weakness is doubt. It's doubt. And that is exactly why he rose from the dead and came back to show them that he's alive, to give them hope, to give them something to feel. Not to doubt anymore, because doubt is the biggest weakness of men. And if you remember in the Bible, it says that story where he went back when Jesus was just starting his ministry. I'll be very brief, but when he was just starting his ministry, he went back to his hometown. That was his start. Listen, if you are not from here, and if you have no idea what's God's plan for my life, what's his calling for my, go back to your hometown and minister to your family. Minister to your family first. That's what he did. He went back to his hometown to minister to his family. And it said that only some people got healed. Because the rest of them were doubting. They said, oh, you're just Jesus. You're one of us. You lived here. You're nobody. They turned him down. And I want to lift him up. But then he moved on. He offered them everything he had. And they were doubting. They didn't receive it. And he moved on. He went all over. And then, you know, let's maybe open Isaiah. Isaiah, let's see. Isaiah chapter 66. We're in the church. We've got to open the Bible. Before we read it, since I started it already, we minister to orphans. Yes, our ministry is to orphans and babies and kids, you know, all the ages. Even if they're over 25 or even if they're over 85. I mean, there's a lot of orphans. And so we minister to those. More and more, we're starting to get into villages. I love villages because I'm from a village. So a lot of villages are very, very, very poor. Some of them don't have electricity. Some of them don't have water. They have a well. Some of them have to share a well. You know, two villages share a well. And so it's a lot of heavy work for little old grandmas. And we love grandmas because they take care of the kids because the parents are drug addicts or dead or in jail. And the kids are just running around with nobody to look after them. And so grandmas are awesome because they help so much. And then we get in and we try to at least feed them and help the grandmas to feed them because it's too much money. They can't afford it. And so, you know, we do that. And I know you probably, those that read the website and stories, we have lots of miracles on there. I don't know how many now. I mean, somebody is changing it all the time, so I don't know. But just so you know, this one time we had a Christmas celebration. You know, like usual, we had in our church, which is a big church, up to 1,000, you know, you can fit about 1,000 people, maybe a little less, 900. And so we had the church packed with orphans, packed with kids that were living on the streets, just packed for Christmas. And our Christmas is January 7th. And so, you know, the church was packed. We didn't think it would be because there was this quarantine, you know, the virus all around. And we thought, well, no one's going to come to a public place to pick up some, you know, virus or a bacteria or whatever. But I mean, it was so packed. People were standing around. They had no room to sit. And we just, you know, we love God because we have a certain budget. And I mean, sometimes there is no budget. And then we still have to do the Christmas because kids are expecting. They're expecting because we already told them. So, you know, we're thinking, we're going to do it. We can do it. And then we check the balance and there is zero. Right, Renee? And there is zero. I'm not lying. She knows. And so there is zero in the bank account. And we had to make, you know, 1,000 gifts just in case. We didn't have enough toys and enough of stuff that you guys shipped because we gave it out before. So we had about 800 some gifts ready. And we had, you know, up to 1,000 kids in the room. And we thought, Lord, help us. Because we can't pack extra or buy extra because we have no money. And so we were just praying and praying. And I didn't personally count everything because there are people that can do that better. But so they counted it a few times. They counted people and they said, Max, we don't have enough. We are like 100 short. What do we do? And so everyone's, you know, panicking. And I said, of course we pray. What else do we do? You know, we don't know. Let's just pray. So we started to pray. And you guys, at the end, we gave out 1,100 and we had left. And this is what God does. This is what, no money, zero. I mean, zero. I don't know if you tried to live on zero, but it's kind of difficult. And so, you know, and God gave them all gifts. Some of them, majority of them, God gives for the first time in their life, especially Christmas gift. And they got to hear what Christmas is all about because some of them never heard it before. They don't know what Christmas is. You know, how would you know? You live in a manhole. And so it was really awesome. And then God does a lot of miracles like that. So we're reading Isaiah 66. And here is, I love this scripture. I love this. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Could you build me a temple as good as that? Could you build me such a resting place? I love to rest in Him. That's the best resting place in the world. And then verse number 2, it says, my hands have made both heaven and earth. They and everything in them are mine. I, the Lord, have spoken. And then he says this, I will bless those who have humble and, I can't read that word, contrite hearts, who tremble at my word. You know, the demons, they tremble at his voice. And he wants us to tremble, but he wants us to be humble, and he wants us to have contrite hearts. This is what we gotta be. Forget about everything you know, because everything you know is not right. I'm not kidding. Forget about everything you learned somewhere, because it's not right. And even if it is right, it's not nearly enough, because he's got more. He's got way more. And so, you know, and so this is like an encouragement to me that in my translation, in our Russian Bible, it says, you know, instead of humble, it says poor. And instead of contrite, it says broken spirit. And so, you know, it's speaking to my nation, because we are a poor nation. I mean, and very broken because of what we went through. And so your God just knows. He even knows those little details. And one time we were at this village, and we were doing ministry there, and we were thinking, you know, we'll bring some barley, some stuff, some food for grandmas, because they have to feed their kids, you know, their grandkids. So we brought some barley, some macaroni, flour, and sugar, you know, things that they have to buy, and they don't have money to buy it with. So we brought that, and we were giving that out. And it was just very spontaneous, because we had gotten into a little store, grocery store, and I got to be, you know, friends with this owner. And he said, listen, I have all this stuff. I have to sell it. I'm closing my store. Can you just buy it for really cheap? And so we just bought the whole thing. And then, you know, we were giving it out, and the same thing happened. I mean, we had to give out about, you know, 1,500 people, because it's a big village. 1,500 people, that's a big village. We had to give out that much. Everyone had to get sugar, macaroni, barley, and flour. You know, three little plastic bags and a bigger one. And so we had to give it all out. And we thought, you know, okay, we have 1,500, easy. But then it ended up being that people talk a lot, and they spread the news really fast. And so grandmas from the village next to that one came over, and they said, we also have grandkids. I have five. What am I going to do? I want food as well. And we thought, oh, this is great. We got to give it out fast before they get here, because they walk slow, you know. So we're thinking, we can do this. And we're praying that we can do this. We can do this in time. And then by the end, we gave out about 2,300, you know, 2,300 people left with these little packages. And we still had some. No, you guys, no. We had 1,500. That's all the store had. That's all we could afford. We didn't go and buy more, because we were in the village. There's nothing around. We didn't go and ask for more. We made sure that everyone got some, and we had some left. So we took it to a village next to that one. I mean, it wasn't enough for that one, but it was enough for a few houses. But hey, God is good. God multiplies when you don't have anything, and he gives you enough to give away. He gives you enough to share. He wants you to love others. I don't know if you have ever lived through that time. Mary and I were just talking about this yesterday, where you just have those people along your path in your life that are just so annoying. Ugh. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not an angel or anything. I'm just a little human being, you know, and I don't flow above the floor, you know. I'm just normal. And so sometimes people are just really annoying, and you don't even want to look at them. And you have to deal with them on a daily basis. And you're thinking, how am I going to do this? And I'm sure that in this room, there are, you know, different people. And I'm sure you guys have bumped into people like that. And then you say, God, what do I do? And then we were talking, and God gave Mary a great revelation. But I'll just share mine. And if you want to know hers, you have to come up to her. But the revelation that he gave me was that he said, you know, in his word, he said, I loved you before the creation of the world. And I thought, oh, this is great. He loved me before I was a mess, you know. And then he said, you love people before you get to know them, before you know them. And I thought, well, this is, how am I going to do that? And then he said, just love them before you know them. Before you know more about them, love them. Choose to love them beforehand. And it really is a miracle. And it became so easy to love people that are really annoying or could be annoying. They're not. They're not anymore. I'm telling you, they're not, because I chose to love them before I even know them. This is something that you have to experience, something that you have to, you know, hear from the Lord and know. But it's definitely something that's possible. And this is our task in this life, to love. Not just to smile, put a mask on and leave and say, hey, everything's great, but to actually love. We have to open another scripture. And for those that don't know, I had seven kids living with me when I left home, but now I have eight and I'm not even there. And so one just came back that used to live with me, and he was just a mess, and he was stealing. I mean, he was just a mess. And then he came back. He said, I want to try again. And so he's back and I'm not even there, but I said, of course, let him in. You know, some of the ministers are taking shifts and they're looking after them. And we were living in one of the apartments, you know, renting an apartment, and then we thought, you know, maybe we can rent a bigger place because we don't have enough. We're all sleeping on the floor, and then we, you know, it's just too crowded. And so we rented a house, and then we lived in a house, and then we had to move out. And then God blessed us with an apartment for the ministry. We have a ministry apartment, and it's not fixed up completely, but hey, we got an apartment. We got a place to get away to. And since we had that apartment, we had so many inspection people show up. Ooh. And I don't really like them, but I love them. And so they showed up, and then the police showed up and they said, this is illegal. You know, you have them here illegally. I said, well, one of them is 22. He's fine. But the seven of them, the youngest one and the only girl, she's five. And I said, well, what's the problem? And he said, well, this is illegal. You didn't adopt them. You're too young. I said, okay. Well, they don't have any. I mean, some of them don't have last names, so they can't be in a facility. And some of them just don't want to be in the facility. They run away. So, you know, they just can't. And then it's just messed up. And he said, you have to take them back to where you got him. I said, that would be the street. And I'm not doing that. And if I let them go, will you take them in? And then he kind of stopped being mean. And then I told him, I love you. I really do. I know you're just doing your job. But just forget my address. Because we're going to have a lot more kids here. Living, passing, you know, whatever. But I believe that this is what we're, you know, this is what we're meant to do. We are meant to save somebody if we can. Take our chances, and that's a different message. But anyway, so my kids, they tell me, you know, they teach me a lot. And this one kid, he told me, Max, do you know why people love you? I said, no, tell me. And he said, because you feed them. And I said, oh, great. Okay, let's talk about this. I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, you make food and then you take food and then you cook food and then you still have food and they just come for food. I mean, they may be not even really, they don't even care about you. And I thought, okay, this is great, you know, let's talk about it. And he's like 13. And I said, okay, why, you know, what else? What else is on your mind? And he said, well, seriously, I mean, I didn't care for you at first. I was just hungry. And I had to get away from some of the trouble that I had. And he lived on the street for years. And so he's a really tough boy. And so he said, seriously, Max, don't be really close to those kids because they don't love you. They just want your food. And I thought, okay. And I thought, you know, this is a reason for me to get upset. But then I didn't, because I saw this. John, let's open John. John. Chapter 6. Verse 26. I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you. Not because you understood the miracles and signs. And then I thought, okay, let's read verse 51. I think there is more. Verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread which I will offer so the world may live as my flesh He offers His flesh. He offers us food. And not just miracles. Miracles are not the reason I'm after Him. I see a lot of miracles. I do. And I'm honored to be a part of that. But it's not the reason I'm after Him. It's because He feeds me. And those kids, maybe they don't even know my last name. And you didn't say it right, but that's okay. You know. But they eat. And He cares about that. And I love Him because He's so merciful. And I'm trying to, you know, I'm comparing the Russian Bible and then I have to open over here. So I think we're going to open another last scripture, Isaiah. Let's just go to Isaiah again. Isaiah 54. And we're going to be finishing this up soon. I'm going to wrap this up. 54. I could have been in jail right now. I really could. Our God is so merciful. He has so much mercy for me and favor and all of this, yay. And then, Marcy, what you were praying and the word and the picture, the vision that you got from God, it's so true because we have broken to 4 countries now. We have 1 orphanage in each of those countries. The countries that we're neighbors with, they're small, they're really poor, they're terrible, but we're in there. We have ministers living there because they're from there and they speak the language. And it's Romania, Poland, Belarus, and Polsha. I mean, whatever. Anyway, so 4 countries. And then, you know, God is doing some awesome things over there. In Romania, they shave the kids' hair. They have no hair. Girls, boys, doesn't matter. Not because they have lice. Well, they do have that and they do have ways out. But they shave him because once the kids run away, they want the society to know that that's an orphan. Stay away. And then we have so much mercy. I could have been in jail a few times by now. I could have been dead. But God protected me. And so 54 verse 9. Just as I swore in the time of Noah that I would never again led a flood to cover the earth. So now I swear that I will never again be angry and punish you. Verse 10. For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My faithful love, He never changes. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. His mercy, has so much mercy, so much mercy. And then verse 17, let's just look at that. But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. No weapon turned against you will succeed. I love it. I love it. I love His word. I mean, you can read the whole chapter, but I love it. I'm reading it. I know some of it is written to disciples, and some of it is written to churches, and some of it is just written to whatever. But this is all for me. This is my letter. This is God's letter to me. And I'm reading it, and I'm putting my name everywhere I can. I'm putting my kids' name everywhere I can because a lot of them, they could have died. And some of them did die. And it was something hard for me to understand. And I still didn't. It's for people that ask questions. Well, why do you have always good endings? We don't. We don't. We hope. We hope. We hope. We pray. We believe. And we hope. And that's all we have. We only have hope left. And so I just encourage you to continue to believe. Even if you've been praying for a miracle in your life for 30 years, keep believing because it's going to happen. Let's just tell him. Let's just tell him what we want because I know you've been asking for something for many years now. And it didn't happen. It didn't come. It didn't come through. It just didn't work out. And then you just kind of give up. But He didn't give you the sheath. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me with that word. I love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We glorify you. We lift you up. We praise you. And we say, you are worthy. We thank you for your hope. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love, your faithful love that will remain forever and ever. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Daddy. We love you so much, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. Even when I'm not there doing stuff, ministry over there with my kids, I know you're with them. And that was another lesson that you taught me. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about a building. It's not about the music. It's about you, God. It's about you, God. And I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Papa God. Say, I love you, Papa God. And I don't want to doubt you. Say it, because I don't want to doubt him. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Strong and be courageous, my son. There's no man that shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, even as I was with Moses. No man shall be able to resist you because of the power of my love that moves through you. You're a door opener. You will open doors, many doors. You will let many into the kingdom of God. The ones that I seek out that nobody has time for, the ones that are forgotten, the ones that are broken, the ones that are cast off, you shall open doors for them. My heart delights in what you do because you follow me and you obey me and you believe me. Surely through you, because of the power of my love in you, justice and truth will triumph in your land. I've made you a wall breaker. You will break down walls. You will break down walls of governments. You will break down walls of bureaucracy. Because of my love that flows through you, no man will be able to resist you.
Chance to talk to Max. Ask him about the 46-year-old lady that he prayed for, who was a prostitute and needed a job. And when she went, she had to get a physical for the job. I'm saying this right? And when she went and was looked at by the doctor, this woman who had lived a hard life, who was a prostitute for many, many years, the doctor was shocked that she was 46 years old and still a virgin. that messes with our paradigm, but that to me is one of the most amazing pictures of my God. Because I could have been the prostitute. I could have been the one that was in the street. I could have been that 12-year-old boy in the gutter. My sin really wasn't anything less than theirs was. But God looks at me clean, and I'm a virgin, so to speak. How great, how high, how wide, how deep is the love of God. You know, my heart, my passion, is that we as a body would be able to express the kind of love that Max has been talking about here. that we love people before we know them. Not only that, we love them after we know them. I want to encourage you. Max does have a ministry called True Hope. This is a very, very worthwhile ministry to sow into. If you, you know, are looking for somebody to support on a regular basis, and we should all have somebody that we support beyond the walls of the church. I just believe that that's part of who we are as believers. Can I just encourage you to, if you can sow into Max, we have so many good ministries we can sow into, Bob and Marcy and Alice, and there's just so many, but this would be, Max's ministry would be one that you could sow into if God would want to connect you with that. There's a table out back that has some materials on it, but we're going to open up the altar. And Max has seen some astonishing miracles, but again, that's not why we love God. We just love Him because He loved us. But Max will be up here. We've got prayer teams that'll be up here. If you need a miracle in your body, if you have never made a commitment to this Jesus that we're talking about here today, come on up and talk to us, and we'd just love to introduce you to Him. He's a person. For those of you that are a little bit, we allow people when they have something on their heart. We this is maybe a little bit out of the box for a lot of us. But.
Thank you, Dave. A few days ago, Josh and I watched a show on a glider. It was tethered behind a single-engine plane, and it was brought up into the heights, and then it would be released from that tether, and it could soar for 150 miles and just fly all over the place and stuff. And I just was sensing as Max was speaking that you know, whenever Max speaks, and I just appreciate his simplicity of heart and his love for the church and for the world, and it gives me a sensing of being able to be, you know, we're tethered into a higher place, and then we can be released, and there's like the energy level seems to, you know, these gliders have no motors, no engines, and yet they can go and they can just see the picture, a panoramic view of just the awesomeness of God. And I just feel like I have been released from a tether. You know what I mean? For a while. And then we can come back into a presence again and get pulled back into the place that God wants us to be. So.
Thanks, Brian. Let's stand together. We want to, I just bless you. Have just a wonderful, wonderful time with family and friends for Easter. You know, just enjoy this resurrection truth, resurrection life that's in Christ. There's coffee out in the lobby. If you need prayer, come on up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we've been challenged, that we've been tethered, that we've been brought to heights, and yet, Lord, you've been able to get to the depths of our heart. You're amazing, God. You're an amazing Father. I pray your blessing on every person here today. God, I pray your anointing, the release of revelation and connection with you in a deeper way. In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.